God bless you. I hope we mean that we'll follow Christ wherever he leads us. Okay, everybody's got a cross, so I want you to find your cross, and I want you to do me a favor. And you won't hear this many churches. Somebody want to get out your phone. We got to hold our cross up. Somebody take a couple pictures of this, okay? Put it on social media. Hold your cross high. Everybody up high. Look at the crosses out there. And look around. Now turn around. If you're in the front, look at the back, okay? Look around all these crosses. Can you imagine the army of people we have in this room who believe in the story of the cross? If we advance it to our world, the results that we'll have. Let's say a prayer as you keep your cross up. Let's say a prayer. Father in heaven, help us to lift the cross and do more than hold it in our hand, but as we've said, hold it with our heart. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. When you think of the cross, I'm going to ask you a question. Would you allow yourself willingly to be nailed to a cross, your hands and your feet? Would you allow somebody to put a 9-inch nail or nails into your hands and feet? Such was the case for Patrice Tomeo of Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, on January 30th, 1973. Patrice allowed himself to be nailed to a cross as a sacrifice for world peace and understanding among men. As thousands watched on television, 9-inch nails, stainless steel nails were driven through his hands and feet, and his plan was to remain on the cross for 48 hours, but it was cut short because after 20 hours, he developed an infection in his foot and had to be removed. The local newspaper had this amazing heading for their story. Listen to it. Crucifixion for peace falls short. And if we're not careful, the power of the cross, the influence of the cross, will fall short if we don't lift up the message. Not put ourselves on the cross, but put Christ on the cross and recognize his power. Mark chapter 8, Jesus is giving all of us an invitation to pick up our cross. Not to nail ourselves to a cross, but to proclaim his cross and to live for his cross. Not to do what Patrice Tomeo did, but to lift up the cross high. The old song says this, ask this question, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. If you have your Bibles, I want you to stand with me and read this few verses, Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read just a few verses. Most of these are beyond the introduction, are written in red, words of Jesus. Here's what it says, verse 34, Jesus says, summoning the crowd, along with the disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself. Underline this, he must take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit a man to gain the world and yet lose his life? What can a man give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, bless these words. Help us to get them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to just make a few points to drive this home if we can. The cross initially does several things for us, but I see three things that we have to think about the cross. The cross initially asks us to sacrifice individually. Verse 34, Jesus said this, if you're going to be a follower of the cross, you're going to deny yourself. How many people, you know, are really good at taking selfies? We have all kinds of tools to take selfies. And the sad thing is, Jesus says, if you're looking to yourself for salvation, you'll be lost. But if you look for me, you'll be saved. The cross asks us to sacrifice individually. Notice this, while Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world, we must recognize that everybody in this room, even though you know that generically, he must be accepted individually. Jesus died for the world, amen? But the question for you and for me this morning, have I accepted Jesus Christ personally, individually? This is a personal cross. It was there for you. Notice he says this. He said, for us to follow and deny ourselves, we got to sacrifice our selfish interests. The Bible says this, Jesus' words, deny himself. In the Greek, that's arnomai, which means a person who follows Christ has to be willing to have a certain disregard of their own interests. Something changes for you when you become a believer. You have this new passion, this new purpose, this new desire to live for Christ. Let me ask you this. What are you interested in? And just think the whole span of your life. Now, let me just play this because I wrote the notes and you didn't. Okay, let me play this. Here's what life has been interesting for most people. Most people, when they're very little, maybe they're interested in a few things. They're crying and all that kind of stuff. But when you get to be a child, you know what you're interested in? M&Ms. Candy. Nothing cooler than vitamin J. Candy. And then you grow up a little bit more and you become a teenager and you're interested in cute girls and cars. Can I get a witness? And then you shift from that and you maybe go to college and you think, oh, the burden, oh, the responsibility of college. And then you get out of college and you develop, what is the next C? You develop your career. And you go, oh, the burdens of a career. And then you retire and you're looking for comfort. Amen. Amen. Can you get there? And look at this. And here's what I want to say to you. You look at all those things, the candy, the cars, the cute girls, the career, and the college, and the comfort, and all those C words. I'm going to ask you to do this. We should give all that to God. There are a lot of people who don't understand what life's about because they can't get focused on Jesus. And let me just say this. Often we challenge young people to give themselves to Christ. Let me challenge in this room. Many of you are beyond young. I guess you're a witness. I mean, you're beyond young. And you're in your comfort time. Don't quit on the cross. You keep serving Jesus to the finish line. And if you're new and following Jesus, you run with purpose and sacrifice and selflessness and give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. We need more people that surrender all, as the song says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. I spoke Thursday to our senior adults about this, and it says this: all seek their own and none the things of Jesus Christ. We have a selfish generation, and consequently, the church is struggling because too many people have their selfish interests higher than the interests of serving and following Jesus on the cross, and that must go away if we're going to advance Jesus. We've got to sell ourselves out. So sacrifice selfish interests. Then also, we have to sacrifice selfish steps. A believer is not seeking to discover his path. The believer is trying to discover the steps of Jesus. And the steps of Jesus are important. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. You want to guarantee success. You want to have huge benefit of your life. You want to have huge purpose in your life. You put each step behind the cross and you follow Jesus all your life and you'll have purpose and you'll reach the destination and you'll reach the goal line where you want to be. There's some types of Christian sacrifice we have to think about. Let me just preach this a little bit. Here's the thing. People are not willing to give Jesus, who gave his time on the cross, enough time. Let me just speak to you. Jesus on the cross gave his time for you. And it's time that you surrender. All of our churches, not just you, thank you for being here, but the hundreds of thousands of people who are asleep at the wheel need to get behind Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm going to give my time back to you, and I'm going to show up at church. I'm going to show up in outreach. I'm going to show up on the mission field. I'm going to show up in sacrifice. I'm going to serve you. Give Jesus your time. If he's the cross that I know, if he's the Jesus I know, he wants your time. He just asked, can I have a little bit of your time? Think about how much we're asked to go to church. And we say, oh, that's so much of a burden to go to church. For most people, that's 1 hour, 3 or 4 times a month, if less for many. Sacrifice your treasure. Hey, I got to tell you something. It's never wrong to invest in God's work. And there's some mighty people in this church that have built this church. I heard this story the other day that John D. Rockefeller, you know, the original guy, back years ago, George Truett was talking to him. He said, you know, it's sad, Mr. Rockefeller, that this is like in the 30s, that a lot of ministers are retiring. They're being put out to pasture. And so John Rockefeller and George W. Truett started what is known as the Annuity Board, which is Guidestone, which is a retirement for Southern Baptists and many other preachers. It's a retirement program. John Rockefeller in 1930 gave $1 million to the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas and said, use it to help preachers. Let me say this. I don't know if preachers are worth it. I'm not sure we're worth $1 million, but I would say this. It's amazing to me that people sacrifice their treasures, then sacrifice your talents. Let me preach at you again. Preach with you, talk to you. There's so many things that we have in our hand that if we gave them to Jesus, we could change the world. What's in your hand? What kind of talent do you have? Can you sing? Can you teach? Can you minister? Can you serve? Can you mow the grass? Can you pull weeds? Can you plant roses? I mean, there's no end to what you can do if you want to make a difference for Jesus. There's something big enough and something small enough for everybody to get involved. In the Old Testament days, the priest offered animal and grain sacrifices. In the New Testament, Jesus sacrificed his life to be the final sacrifice for sin. As believers, we're told in Romans 12:2 that we're to offer ourselves a living sacrifice. The sacrifice worked in the Old Testament, and it worked when Jesus died on the cross. But my question for us today, are there still those people who are willing to sacrifice their all for Jesus? The old song says like this, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Sacrifice individually. Secondly, the cross asks us to surrender completely. Just another level of the same. But verse 35 says this, whoever loses his life, not just a sacrifice, a little time, a little treasure, but whoever loses his life for me in the gospel will save it. In other words, He wants you to give your life to Him. Your time, your treasure, all those things. He wants to say, I'm putting Jerry Hayes on the altar, and we all need to get on the altar. I remember, I'm very competitive. I hate to lose. Anybody hate to lose? We played washers the other day in adult 5 and 6 fellowship, and hey man, I'm very competitive, and everybody's throwing them like this, and I flip it backwards up high, thinking I've got the whole thing figured out, and I lost, and I couldn't stand it. Can we play another game? I want to win, Steve Ferguson. I want to win. Whoever won, who won that day? But think about this. We love to win. Nobody wants to lose. In fact, Vince Lombardi, the great coach of Green Bay, said this. He said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. And everybody applauds with that statement. I got something opposite to say. Jesus spoke differently. Show me a person willing to lose and I'll show you a winner. The winners are the ones who do something different with their life, who become missionaries and preachers and servants, who give a tenth their income, who show up on Sunday morning, these people who sing, these people who teach, all this stuff we do for Jesus, we're the winners. When we give our time up, we give all of who we are up, then we become winners. There's an interesting book by Robert Morgan. I love his work. He has a book, an article about Christian paradoxes. A paradox is something made up of two opposite things. He lists several of these paradoxes and talks about Jesus giving a paradox here. He says, as a believer, we see unseen things. Whoa, I can see unseen things. We conquer by yielding. We rest by having a weight. We reign by serving. We are made great by becoming small. We are exalted by being humble. We become wise by being foolish. We become free by becoming a servant. We gain strength when we're weak. We triumph through defeat. We find victory in our infirmities, and we learn to live by dying. And I think that there needs to be some, as somebody said in a sermon I heard years ago, there needs to be some holy crucifixions, not on a cross, but we need to put our hearts on the altar and say, I'm giving my all. Surrender your life, surrender your losses, surrender your living. Let me ask you this, are you willing to surrender everything to Christ? Are you willing? Let's just play that record for a minute. Let me say that again. Are you willing to surrender everything to follow Jesus Christ? Let me ask you a few questions. Would you still be willing to follow Jesus if it meant losing your closest friends? This happened to some of the disciples. Would you be willing to follow Jesus if it meant alienation from your family? And many people throughout generations, and still to this day, if you're a Muslim and you receive Jesus Christ, they want you dead. Take some guts to stand for Jesus in some countries. It's easy here. Would you still follow Jesus if it meant loss of your reputation? Or are you too busy shining our own trophies? Would you still follow Jesus if it meant losing your job? Would you still follow Jesus if it meant losing your life? Surrender completely. I read this story about a man who was told to reject Jesus Christ. And he was going to be crucified and killed years ago. And they asked him if he would deny God. He said, I won't. And one of the persons who didn't want to take his life said this, why wouldn't you deny so your children can see you? Deny and you can live and see your family again. And he said this, "Daddy dead is daddy still. But a daddy that denied Jesus Christ, that's too awful to imagine. I love Jesus." And they took his life. History reveals many cases like that. And I ask you, are you willing to surrender completely? Years ago, when Sue and I first got married, a few years ago, I know the numbers, I'm just not bragging. Years ago, somebody gave us, early in our marriage, and Sue maybe remember this, I don't like jigsaw puzzles. But loving person gave us early in our early marriage life a jigsaw puzzle, and it used to sit on the top of our shelf in one of our closets, and it was hundreds and hundreds of pieces, and the box was a picture of a pizza. Who wants to make a jigsaw? I want a piece of pizza. I don't want to put pieces together, you know. But it had a statement at the bottom. We never put it together. I wish I'd have kept it to show you today. We never put it together. But here's what it said at the bottom of that puzzle picture of pizza. It said this, "You are what you eat." Pepperoni, Canadian bacon. I want to put a different statement in your mind. And here it is. You are, listen to this, you are what you're becoming. Are you becoming a servant, sacrificial? Are you becoming more surrendered? Can you say all to Jesus, all to him I freely give? Then the last thing is a cross asks us to stand for him publicly. To publicly stand for. Here, verse 38 says this, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes to the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I take seriously that verse. That means that we live in open declaration. I am a Christian. I don't back off. And I'm not going to deny him. Jesus called people publicly. He cleansed people and healed them from their diseases publicly. And we have raised a generation who believe that they can somehow serve Jesus from the closet or serve Jesus away from the church. And they believe they're an island out there and they don't need to be in group and fellowship. And that is not taught in the Bible. We're called together. But I think we need to announce our faith publicly. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, this, I don't be too hard on you on this, but listen, there's some confusion about this. Here's the question. Does a person have to walk forward into a church to become a believer? Don't answer it, because I'm going to answer it for you. The answer is no. Let me ask you a second question. Should a person be willing to walk forward to announce Jesus to become a believer? And the answer is yes. If you are unwilling to take your stand for Christ, it meant you didn't mean right thing with your will in the first place. Because Jesus calls people. Listen, all those early disciples, he said, "Come, follow me," and they said, "I'll do it on Monday." They left their nets and followed him. We need that generation. Question that comes up to me that I think would be good for all of us to discover. There's six statements about being ashamed. Here's the question. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Let me give you six statements. If you want to jot these down, six statements that reveal if you're ashamed of Jesus or not. And if you don't get this, Brian will put the sermon online. You can take notes later. Number one, you're ashamed of Jesus when we're worried about offending other people with what we believe. That means you're ashamed. Number two, when we're people pleasers and not God pleasers. Number three, when we're afraid that we don't have the answers in the Bible. Number four, when we don't take lordship, that Jesus is our boss, seriously, we're ashamed. Number five, when we doubt the truth and the power of the gospel, that it works. And number six is the greatest challenge. Number six, when we don't know what the gospel is. Well, I want to answer that one. Here's the gospel. The gospel basically is the teaching of Jesus Christ. Do you believe in that? There are three ways that we can take our stand for the cross today. Here it is. We can love him greatly. We can live for him openly. And we can lift him devotedly. Love him greatly. Live for him openly. And lift him devotedly. The year was 1858. It'll be long remembered in the area of Philadelphia at a time when tragedy struck. There was a spiritual awakening in the city, an exciting time when Christian music was written. There was a prominent preacher whose name was Dudley Tyng. He was one of the great preachers of that revival that was happening in the city of Philadelphia. He recently, right before the end of his life, he spoke to 5,000 men using the text, "Go now, you that are men, and serve God." One report of that session says that after he ended the service, 1,000 men, can you imagine this? 1,000 men confessed Christ as their Savior. A few days after that marvelous service, Tyng was working in his study, and for a few moments of relaxation, he decided to walk down to his barn to watch a corn shelling machine in operation. While he patted a mule on the back that was being used to operate the machine back then, the animal became frightened and leapt forward, knocking Tyng into the machine. It caused his sleeve to be caught in the cogs, and before the workers could stop the animal, his arm was pulled in so far and so badly lacerated it had to be amputated. He lived only a few days after the accident. Just before he died, his father leaned over this young minister and asked, he said, "Son, do you have any message for these men you've been preaching to, the men you've been working with? Do you have any message that I can give them from you?" And he said to his dad, "Dad, tell the men to stand up for Jesus." George Duffield Jr., a young pastor at that time and close friend of Mr. Tyng's, was so moved by that message, he preached a sermon the following Sunday, exhorting his congregation to stand up for Jesus. And in that sermon, he read a poem that he had written. And it goes like this: stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. And that's what I want for us. I want us to be brave and faithfully stand up for Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, all of us received a cross today. I pray we'd get the message and we'd not only just hold it in our hand, but we'd transfer it by taking it to our world. As we give the invitation, I pray if there's one person in here that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, that today they would walk forward. They don't have to walk forward, but they'd walk forward and say, "I want Christ as my Savior." Be bold and brave. Jesus died on the cross for you. Would you come forward? And then maybe some of us need to renew our faith, renew our walk. We've walked away from the cross. The cross is before us, but we've decided to put it at our back, and we can't see the cross anymore because we're walking away from it. I pray you'd help us to come back to the cross. And then, Lord, maybe there's somebody in this room that would like to join the cross and join the church and help us with this message of the cross. Help us to stand for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Will you stand?